everyone, if you can gather, get your seats. We're going to get started here. Why don't we pray? And definitely want to keep Roger in prayer. Jane's brother, we know he's going through a lot, and it's not looking good. So why don't we pray for him, and we'll pray for our study as well. Lord God, we thank you that you've brought us here to gather. Always nice to see new faces, always nice to see old faces, and where we can just continue in fellowship and growing. As we talk about this topic, Lord, we pray you would bless our time in it, in church membership. And when we think of Roger, Lord, we think of just all that he's going through now, and it's not looking good. And yet we know, Lord, you are in control, and we trust in you. You can do all things. And so we pray, Lord, just give peace and comfort to his family during this tough time. Lord, be with him. Thank you for being with him for all his life and taking care of him. And we just pray, Lord, that you be with him now in these really tough times. And give wisdom to the doctors as well. Bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine for a moment when I proposed to my wife, I didn't say, will you marry me? Instead, I said, will you continue to date me for the rest of your life? I don't think she would have said yes. Clearly, that would show that I didn't want to commit to her. And so, today we're talking about church membership, and many times we can see that in churches. Rather than committing, some people would rather go church to church and never become a member. Beloved, today we're going to discuss the importance of church membership. Now, before we get into our overview for the next 6 weeks, let me remind you briefly about the local church and what church membership is, and then I'll give you 12 reasons why it matters. So I want to hear from you. Can someone just give me a short definition or what you remember? What is the local church? When we're talking about the church, obviously we're not talking about the building. What is the church? Yeah. Yeah, good observation there with the people gathering together. Anyone else? What is the local church? Think about what we spoke about in our last study in ecclesiology. What is the local church? Does anyone remember? Body of believers, yes, really good. And so here's a short recap, kind of what we spoke about. A local church is a group of Christians who regularly gather, like Sam was saying, in Christ's name, to officially affirm and oversee one another's membership in Jesus Christ and his kingdom through gospel preaching and gospel ordinances. In other words, the local church is that institution that Jesus created and authorized to pronounce that, yes, the gospel of the kingdom is here, to affirm gospel professors and to oversee their discipleship and for to expose the imposters that come in the church. Remember, we spoke about those false teachers and whatnot. And so this brings us to church membership. Can someone briefly define what church membership is? Maybe you've heard of a definition before. What is church membership? I want to hear what you guys think before we kind of chime into it. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, couldn't say it better. Yep. It's more like buying into the vision. Yeah. So church membership is pretty much what Ephraim was saying. Here's something brief just before we get into our study. It's a church body that is having that formal relationship between a church and a Christian by saying that the church is affirming that this person is going to be discipled here in this church, and the Christian's going to submit living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. In other words, it's a declaration of citizenship in Christ's kingdom. So maybe you can think of it this way. It's a passport. It's an announcement made in the press room of Christ's kingdom. It's that declaration of you're saying, I'm an officially licensed card-carrying Jesus representative. All right? And so that's kind of what we're going to chime in today about church membership. But before we get really into our lesson one, why does church membership matter? Why does church membership matter? Can anyone tell me why you think it matters, or maybe you don't think it matters? We'll get into that, but why does church membership matter? I'll give you 12 reasons, but can anyone give me one? Yeah. Accountability, really important, yes. Anyone else? There we go. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in great length. Protection from sin. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Why does church membership matter? Oh, yeah, that too. Exactly. Because we don't want just a dictator or someone just calling all the shots. We want the whole church to be in agreement with certain aspects. Yeah, really important decisions. Yes, you want to be able to serve the church. Good. So I'll briefly give you 12 reasons. Like I said, this is more of an introduction. We'll get into our lesson in a brief moment here. So here's 12 reasons. Number one, and we'll talk about this a lot more in great length next week, but it's biblical. Jesus established the local church, and all the apostles did their ministry through it. And the Christian life in the New Testament is church life. Christians today should expect and desire the same. Number two, the church is its members. To be a church in the New Testament is to be one of its members. So you could just read through the book of Acts, and like I said, we'll look into that more next week. And so you want to be part of the church because that's who Jesus came to rescue and reconcile to himself. Number three, it is a prerequisite to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, it's a meal for who? The gathered church, that is the members there. You can see there in 1 Corinthians 11:20-33. And so obviously we want to take part of the Lord's Supper. Number four, it's how you officially represent Jesus. Membership is the church's affirmation that you're a citizen of Christ's kingdom. And so you're saying that, yes, I am a believer when you're joining in the church body. Number five, it's how you declare your highest allegiance. Your membership on the team is you saying that, yes, I am a believer. I follow Jesus. Even when trials or persecutions may come, you say, I am a Christian. Number six, it's how you embody and experience biblical images. It's within the accountability structures of the local church that Christians live and experience how the body functions, the safety, intimacy, and shared identity of his family. So kind of like what Ephraim was saying and John. Number seven, it's how you serve other Christians, what Veronica was saying. Membership helps you know which Christians you're specifically responsible to love, serve, warn, encourage. It enables you to fulfill your biblical responsibilities to Christ's body. So again, if you know someone's a member, then they're saying they're a believer. And then it's going to help you, okay, I got to be accountable with this brother. If you have someone that's not a member, you're not quite certain they're a believer because they haven't made that profession of faith and gone before the church and said, yes, I'm a Christian. And so it makes it a lot easier when you have those that are members. You're saying, okay, I got to be accountable with them. Of course, you're supposed to love everyone and you know, reach out to all of them. But it definitely helps us to serve one another a lot better when we know who's a member and who's not. Number eight, it's how you follow Christian leaders. Membership helps you to know which Christian leaders you are called to obey and follow. If you can see that biblical responsibility in Hebrews 13:7. And then number nine, it helps Christian leaders lead. Membership lets Christian leaders know which Christians they will give an account for, right? You see that in Acts 20:28 with the shepherds and the pastors. Okay, this person's a member. They're saying they're a believer. Now you know for a fact you're accountable for that person's soul, and so we want to shepherd them properly. Number 10, it enables church discipline. It gives the biblically prescribed place to participate in the work of church discipline, responsibility, wisely and lovingly. And so now we know, okay, you're a member, you're saying you're a believer. That means, obviously, if you go astray, we're going to go and rescue you, we're going to reach out to you, and at times participate in church discipline because you're saying you're a Christian and whatnot. And we spoke about that a little bit a couple weeks ago. Number 11, it gives structure to your Christian life, places an individual's Christian's claim to obey and follow Jesus in a real life setting where authority is actually exercise over us. So you can think of it this way. It's God's discipling program, right? We know who the disciples are, and they're going to be discipled here at the local body of our church. And lastly, number 12, it builds a witness and invites the nations, right? Membership shows us that, okay, everyone is watching, everyone is seeing, and so when they come into the church, they know, okay, these people are the members, they're the ones that are saying, I'm a believer, and then we're inviting the nations, we're inviting others. So you can say it's also a way of, it's God's evangelism program with these understanding of membership and whatnot. All right, any questions or comments there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you reconcile that with Paul was saying, you know, because I've seen people that say, I'm from this church, I'm from that church, and he said,
yeah.
You know, don't say that you're Paul or Apollo, because, you know,
yeah.
You're all part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the thing that one, doesn't it kind of mean
what? Yeah, that's a good point. So, it's good to look at it this way. We spoke about it a little bit before. The universal church and the local church, right? Of course, like, we're part of the universal church. There's no disagreement there. We're on the same team. But if you look at biblically, and like I said, we'll look at it more next week, there's the church of Corinth. There's a church in Galatia. There's a church of Ephesus. Even Jesus had, what, in Revelation, the seven churches. And so there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm a part of this church. It just shows that you're committed to Christ in a more specific sense because this is the body you're accountable to, and obviously it goes into proximity of where you live and all that. But yes, it could happen, though. I've seen it in you know, former churches where, oh, you know, you get to those church rallies and, all right, this church, whatever you want to call it, Church of Christ, Church of God, whatever you want to say, all right, everyone who's from this church, go crazy and cheer, and then everyone goes crazy and cheers, and then you hear the other little church, hey, and it's like, and then you're kind of embarrassed, and then the other people are like, ugh, like, what's wrong with them? Or they have a big church, but they're just like, yeah, you know? And so it can become that competition or whatnot. Yeah, I was part of Royal Rangers growing up, and we were part of Wolfpack, and like I said, it can get like that, but that's not the intention in anything. I think, Efren, good question, though. I think whenever you see something in Scripture, it's so easy to twist it. It's so easy to just say, you know what, church membership, no, it could be a pitfall. It could lead to pride. It can lead to, we just have to remember, well, that's our issue. That's our problem. That's our sinful depravity. That's not what the, you know, that's not the Bible's problem. But yeah, anyone else here with good thoughts? I thought I saw someone else's hand. Yeah, Chris. Yeah, and so that's a good point. So there's different disagreements there, but if you're really saying you're a believer, you're obviously going to take the Lord's Supper. And so what you're telling everyone when you're taking the Lord's Supper at any church, you're saying, I'm a believer, right? And so the assumption is if you're a believer, you want to be a committed follower of Christ, and that assumption is that you are a member of that church. But yeah, here we don't practice close communion, but there is some wisdom there. In certain churches that do, because we want to make sure that those who are partaking in the Lord's Supper are actually believers. But yeah, we spoke about it again during our Lord's Supper discussion. I'm pretty sure you were there. We mentioned, like, definitely got to be a believer. We recommend, obviously, being baptized before you partake. And yeah, obviously, church membership is important, too. Uh-huh. Yeah, so really good question. We're going to get into that in probably like 15, 20 minutes. Really good thought process there. All right, why don't we continue with our lesson, though? So the overview, what are we going to look for in the next 6 weeks? First, we're going to discuss our need for church membership. So we'll see that in about 5 minutes. We're going to see that sin is deceitful, and we need to truly be accountable for others. Obviously, we're going to look at Hebrews 3. Then we're going to consider the mandate for membership. We're going to see from the Bible why God calls us to be members. Then we are going to talk about just how Jesus expects every Christian to be a committed member of a local church. So we're going to look at the goal, the challenges, and the nature of church membership. And, you know, discuss other questions. It's going to be mainly a question time. Not so much like kind of like what we were doing before with like like a deep study. It's going to be more of just us discussing. So there's going to be a lot more of you guys talking and a lot less me talking for the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to discuss what does it mean for us to be members to one another. And then the last two lessons we're going to look at is our responsibilities towards each other as fellow members and obviously towards God. And we're going to see how the glorious reality of what church membership points to. And so that's how we're going to conclude our last lesson. But before we jump into lesson one about our need for membership, I thought it would be good to just discuss the biblical understanding of church membership. And so I want to give you 4 points that Mark Dever makes in his book, What is a Healthy Church, right? That's 9 marks. Really good stuff if you want to kind of dive a little deeper into church membership, into really what a good church looks like. What's a biblical church? Check out that book, What is a Healthy Church? And so I'll kind of summarize his 4 points that he makes here. Number one, and I think it was Efren that brought this up, biblical membership, what does it mean? Commitment, right? And so think of a flock, it has sheep. Think of a vine, it has branches. Well, a body, it has members. And so in one sense, church membership begins when Christ saves us and makes us a member of his body. Yet his work must then give expression in an actual local church. In that sense, church membership begins when we commit to a particular body. Being a Christian means being joined to a church. And so, again, Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, we regularly come to this place with this hope to what? Spur one another in love and good deeds. And so church membership should be the reflection of a living commitment. So that's the first one. The second one, biblical membership means taking responsibility. And so kind of similar to accountability, like John was saying, right? The practice of church membership among Christians occurs when Christians grasp hold of each other in responsibility and love. And so I think Veronica was bringing it up. This is how, or Sam, this is how we commit to one another in gathering, giving, prayer, service. And we're telling others to expect certain things from us and hold us accountable if we don't follow through. And so what you're saying when you join the church, you're saying, I am now your responsibility and you are my responsibility. Right? You see that? You're kind of, you know, maybe not the best analogy, but you think of a gang. they got your back, I got your back kind of thing. Well, this is more than a gang. This is a spiritual family. And we really got your back because we got your spiritual back. Okay? And that matters more because your soul is at stake, right? And so, yes, we got your back. Number three, biblical membership means salvation affirmation. What's so dangerous about members who do not attend on a regular basis? So we have those that maybe haven't joined, but then we have those that have joined but don't come, right? What do we think about that? Well, uninvolved members confuse both real members and non-Christians by what it means to be a Christian. By calling someone a member of your church, you're saying that that individual has your church's approval as a Christian. And so, yes, it could be quite confusing if you have people that are members, but they're not really gathering with the body. And number four, biblical membership is meaningful. This means we'll have, from time to time, right, remove certain members. We will have to make sure we're teaching new members what God intends for the church and remind current members of their commitment to the life of the church. If we view church membership in a meaningful way, it will make the witness of our churches to non-Christians more clear. It will make it harder for weaker sheep to stray from the fold. And then it will help shape and focus the discipleship of more mature Christians. It will help church leaders, again, know who they're responsible for. And, of course, in all this, God will be glorified. All right, any questions or comments here about this introduction of church membership? Mm-hmm. Well, if you say immature Christian, they're a Christian. No, they should be a church member regardless if they're immature or mature. I think what I was saying with my last comment about mature Christians is a true mature Christian is going to want to grow in their faith. And so part of that is being a member of a church because you have that accountability, that responsibility. You know who you have to serve and all that. But yeah, no, if they're a Christian, they should become a member regardless. Now, if your question is more about like if they don't really act like a Christian, and they're really just immature, and they're saying they're a Christian, again, we would have to, that's kind of why we sit with them, we hear their testimony, we see their fruit and all that. But even if you think about the Church of Corinth, we have there many believers that were not mature in the faith. But yeah, good question. Anyone else here? All right, so our first discussion question before we get right into our lesson here is, I want to hear from you guys again. If you disagree, it is okay with this lesson here. Do you think it's important for Christians to be members of local churches? Why or why not? Is it that big of a deal? Like, from your scale 1 to 10, do you think number 10, yes, everyone should be a church member? Or number 1, actually, it's not that big of a deal, Kevin. Relax, like, do a different course. What do you guys think? I want to hear from you. Mm-hmm.
I used to think that it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think it really matters. It's just like, you know, it goes with the level of respect to God. When it comes up, then you can have to work. Yeah, it goes up. It's like, you know,
mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yeah? Really good. Yeah, I think it's a valid point. You know, you probably in this church know we don't really push it so much, but we do obviously think it's important. I think I saw Pat and then Efren. Yeah, and things could be abused. Like I said, people could take a truth and then twist it. But yeah. Yeah, like anything, you can become legalistic with certain things there, but yeah. Yeah, and definitely see more of that intimacy once you're a member of a church. You definitely, especially with our meetings and whatnot. But yeah, it's good to be transparent. Yeah, Chris? Yeah, and that's kind of one of our purposes for this lesson here. And discussing membership for the next 6 weeks, because we really would like to see our church grow in this. We would love to see people join. But yeah, thanks, Chris, for that. Vanessa? Thank you. Yeah, good. So let's get into our lesson one. I know that was a huge intro. So the main idea for today's lesson, it should be on your sheet there that you got. And so this is the summary. If you forget everything else, as long as you remember this, beautiful. Christians need to be members of a local church so that through a church's accountability and exhortation, we are protected from sin's deceiving and hardening effects. Right? So ultimately, church membership is about protection from sin's deceiving, hardening effects. We're going to see how it could be so easy to think we don't need church membership because we think we can do it on our own, but we know we can't. And so let me give you this brief definition by Jonathan Lehman. This is how he defines church membership to help our discussion here. And like I said, we have like maybe 10 questions we're going to get into. So church membership is a covenant of union between a particular church and a Christian, a covenant that consists of the church's affirmation of the Christian's gospel profession, the church's promise to give oversight to the Christian, and the Christian's promise to gather with the church and submit to its oversight. And so before we get into our main passage, have you ever heard of church membership like this, given in this definition? We did discuss this a little bit already, but what do you think church member, or what has church membership been for you in the last maybe 10, 20 years? Has it been communicated to you in this way, that church membership is a covenant? It affirms the Christian's profession of faith in Christ? Or have you heard something else that church membership is? I think someone was mentioning earlier, yes, it is about voting and making important decisions, but have you ever thought about it and sat down and said, wow, church membership really is this covenant? You're uniting with the rest of the body. Yeah. Yeah, so like illustrations, pictures, metaphors, yeah. Anyone else have a good... So everyone was raised with this idea of church membership, that it's a covenant, besides Nancy, obviously. Anyone else where you oversee the Christian's discipleship? It's really important to understand what church membership is, because you don't want to just sign up for something that isn't biblical. But yes, yeah. Yeah, I could see that in certain places. Let me tell you what I used to think it was. I used to think it was more like joining a college club. So I don't know about you, but maybe in college you had the Spanish club. You had the Christian club, obviously. You had the dancing club. You had all these different clubs. And before, I used to think joining a church was like, all right, I'll join this church. And then I could also join this other church. And then maybe I'll join this other church too. And so I was going to like different churches and really having my brain and effort and time and energy and so many different places. I didn't realize the importance of this is a covenant and this is where I'm going to serve and this is where I'm going to give my time and energy towards. And so it's really important to kind of see it like that. All right, let's go to Hebrews 3. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews 3. The book of Hebrews is a word of exhortation. You can see that in Hebrews 13:22. It's addressed to professing Christians who are what? In danger of giving up their faith under the relentless pressure of persecution. And so in Hebrews 3, the author specifically warns the readers not to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so why don't we read our passage here in Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 14. If you got it, say amen. Hebrews 3, 7 to 14. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be any of you in evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. So just a great scripture here. And so we're going to just interact with this text. So the first question here is, what does the Holy Spirit exhort us not to do, and what does that mean? From Hebrews 3, what does the Holy Spirit exhort us not to do? Look at verse 7. Yeah, the Holy Spirit exhorts us not to harden our hearts. This means that we must not rebel against God and His Word, but rather humbly submit to it. Rather than setting ourselves up against Him, we must bow before Him and allow His Word to expose our sin and lead us away from that sin. All right, here's another question. What negative example does the author hold up to us? What was the example he uses there? The negative example in verses 8, 9, 10. Yeah, right? The Israelites grumbling in the wilderness. Remember Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. What are they arguing about? Does anyone remember? With Moses. There it is. The main one was the water, right? They are dying of thirst, and so they start complaining, grumbling. What, you just led us here to die in the wilderness? So they're not trusting God. They're doubting Him and His provision. And so we see in Psalm 95, they put God to the test and demanded that He give them what they wanted now. And so what happens here in Hebrews 3 to the Israelites who hardened their hearts and disobeyed God? What happens? Look at Hebrews 3, 10 to 11. They disobeyed God, and so what happens to them? Yeah, that was a little bit earlier. So we see there that God is going to punish them for their disobedience. He tells us that the Israelites who disobeyed God were punished by God, and they end up dying in the wilderness, right? The first generation doesn't see the promised land. It's the next generation. And so let's keep going here with some more observational questions. What does the author of Hebrews tell us to make sure to do to make sure it doesn't happen to us? So remember, he's given us a picture, an illustration. We see it. Wow, the Israelites, they disobeyed. They didn't trust God. They were punished. They were disciplined. And so now, present day, what is the author telling his audience there? And so the author of Hebrews tells us to make sure that none of us have an evil, look at the verse there, verse 12, an evil, unbelieving heart which causes us to fall away from the living God. He warns us not to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I don't know about you, but have you ever seen someone fall away? They go into sin and they just, I'm out. Has anyone seen that? Could it happen to some believers too? What do you guys think? We don't got to get so personal and whatnot, but it has happened. It's happened to me. I don't know about you, but And so you bring up a good point. So you have those that have fallen away that were either never believers, or those who have fallen away that are believers and they're in sin now, and God's going to probably discipline them. But then you have obviously those that are rescued and they go back to God. But again, there's two different cases, right? The one that was never a really believer, even though they professed, they fell away. And so we would say that they didn't lose their salvation because they never had it. But then we have those that are in sin that really are believers, and God's going to punish them, discipline them, kind of like the first example with the Israelites. But I guess what I was asking was, has that ever happened to you or someone nearby where you start drifting away for a bit and you're in sin, God's disciplining you, and then you have to get brought back? But yeah. A little preview. That's a good verse. Yeah, good verse. And good thought. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And that's kind of where we're going with it, since we're talking about church membership. Here's another question. What does this passage tell us to do in order to make sure we don't fall away from the living God? Look at the verse again in verse 13 and 14. What does it tell us to do to make sure we don't fall away? Who's got it? Yeah, and you can't encourage yourself. You need one another, right? So the passage tells us to exhort each other every day in order to make sure that we don't fall away from the living God. So you ask yourself, do we do this? Can we do this if we're not members of a church? And so reflect on that. I mean, obviously the early church, they met more than just on Sundays, of course. And so maybe are you keeping each other accountable, not just on Sunday, but every day or as much as you can? I know we have our busy schedules, but it's so important to reach out and keep each other accountable. All right, here's another question. What's one practical way you can begin to help others grow in godliness and not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness? What's one way you can help out another brother or exhort another brother today? What would you say? Yeah. I don't know. We got to ask Ephraim if you're friends. Nah, just kidding. Yeah, and that's one of the biggest reasons we do our fellowship, agape fellowship. It's not to just feed us. Like, yeah, obviously, you know, we're hungry. We got the word fed in us, but we need, you know, physical food. But that's not the main purpose. It's to fellowship, to get to know one another. So rather than just maybe reaching out to the same person every week, go to someone else, someone you haven't really met. But yeah, Andres and then Nancy. That's good, yeah. And it promotes the sufficiency of Scripture. And so if you're going to reach out to someone, reach out to them with some Scripture too. Nancy, and then keep. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's beautiful. And you have the time for it, definitely do it, huh? Yeah, no, really good thoughts, guys. And one thing I had is just ask them how their prayer life has been. I think just keeping each other accountable in different ways. What have you been reading in the Word? You know, kind of just seeing if they've been in the Word of God, kind of like what Andres was saying. All right, finishing up here. Back to Hebrews 3. The author warns us not to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so what do we see here about sin? What does this teach us about sin, beloved? Think about it for a second. It says there that sin is deceitful. And so verse 13 tells us not to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, and it teaches us that sin is an active, dangerous force within us. It teaches us that sin lies to us and seeks to entice us, promising things it won't deliver. It teaches us that sin can harden us. It can lure us into a life of greater and greater sinfulness until our hearts are no longer sensitive to God's word and no longer convicted by the Spirit when we sin. I don't know about you, but I've been there before. It is a scary place, beloved. It is a scary place when you are not convicted of sins. And so sin is deadly. It's dangerous. It's our enemy. And so maybe this has happened to you. You let sin sleep over, and now you don't want to get out of bed to live for God. You just want to stay there. That's definitely an emergency, 911. We need someone to come and rebuke us and point us to Christ. Yep. Yeah, and so obviously there's that battle, but the main point where we're getting into, obviously, with talking about church membership is how are you going to battle? Can't do it alone. We're going to need the local church. We're going to need each other. And so it's really important to ask yourself, what do you think about sin? Is it this active, dangerous, threatening force, really? Or is it just, it's an occasional minor slip-up here and there? In other words, can sin really kill us? Or can it only scratch us a bit? Like, what is your thought process? Is sin something that will damage you? Or is sin something like, it's not that big of a deal? We know that sin is really dangerous. And we need to be on the watch. And so if you think you're above it, trust me, you know, pride comes before the fall. And so let's end with this since we don't have much time for questions anymore. How should this passage help us shape our lives when we're thinking about Hebrews 3? The basic idea is that this passage teaching about sin should stir us up to actively oppose sin, kind of like what Chris was saying, watch against sin, and make serious efforts to help others overcome sin. Rather than being passive and resting in a false sense of security from sin, we must help others overcome sin and seek help from others to overcome sin, because sin is constantly trying to deceive us, right? John Owen says, you must always be killing sin or it will be killing you. And so we must not engage in this effort alone. We are to exhort each other so we wouldn't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Because sin lies to us and we need others to help unmask those lies. And so again, the last question here, since we're coming to a close. What happens if you're not a church member? You put yourself in harm's way. You put yourself in that you're going to be vulnerable to being hardened by sin's deceitfulness because you're not accountable to anyone. Fellow church members are under the authority of the same church, and they're committed to each other to watch over each other's lives. And so if a church member begins to cherish their sin more than Jesus, then the whole church is called to pursue that individual, even to the point of exclusion from membership if he or she doesn't repent. And so the problem with refusing to join a church is that you simply walk away. You could walk away at any time without no real consequences. And so you don't really have real accountability, kind of how we started with John's statement. And so that kind of independent attitude, what is it? It really gets into this manifestation of spiritual pride. It's like saying, yeah, other people need help and accountability and exhortation in order to not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, but not me. And so, beloved, we really need to ask ourselves, are we being prideful if we're not looking to join a local church? Lastly, the last verse in Hebrews 11:14. How do we know that we share in Christ? We know we share in Christ if we persevere to the end. Perseverance in faith and faithful loving living is one of the great marks of a true believer. And so that should encourage us to constantly renew our efforts to fight sin, strengthen faith, and renew our love for God and seek to help and to be helped by other believers. It should remind us that we're running a marathon, not a sprint, and we need to consistently depend on God's grace in order to remain faithful to Christ throughout our lives. All right, and so the last question, something to just think about as we go. What would you say if someone said, I don't need to join a church? I can grow as a Christian just fine by coming to church whenever I want to or wherever I want to. What would you say now to that person that says that? Again, I would remind them, church membership involves the church affirming a Christian's profession. Every Christian should desire that affirmation. Submitting ourselves to the church examination should not only help us to more clearly see God's work in our lives, and we must remember the church's promise to oversee one's discipleship means that the church is committing to do that individual spiritual good. And not just me trying to further my own spiritual growth, but the whole church is striving to build me up in Christ. And so again, beloved, if you're a member of the church, you are going to be gathering weekly, giving yourself a chance to stir one another in love and good deeds, as Hebrews tells us. We're going to be hearing scripture, reading and hearing the word preach. We're going to be singing and praying together, and all these other activities we do at corporate worship. It's going to strengthen our faith and stir our souls. And so lastly, submitting to the church's oversight is going to help us grow in humility. Okay, so that's how we're going to close here, beloved. Next week, we're going to discuss the mandate for membership. But just remember, whether you're a member or not, we love you here at the Bible Church. We care for you. But we do see that there is a need. There is a need for church membership. All right, I'll give you the last word and I'll...